Hey, what's up, everyone? It's your boy, Addy Nett, and of course, I've got my main man,
Casey Carpenter.
And you are either watching or listening to
MLO.
We nailed it.
Yeah, and I held it.
The last one wasn't good.
Dude, we're
but
like,
it was super.
You ever seen Pitch Perfect?
That is good. That's a good movie. I could talk about 20 minutes for that. So solid.
But we're not talking movies. We're talking real estate.
Mortgages.
Housing market.
Yeah, so we struggled to come up with a formalized title for this episode, but really we're going to cover a lot of kind of media articles we're seeing. Like, just when it comes to real estate, buying homes, I feel like, I mean, obviously we're in the profession, and this is for people that aren't in the profession, consumers mostly. Yeah. They're not following the same stuff that you and I are following on our feeds. But every single hour, it's like something negative, like all-time lows, stall out, this or that. Like the lowest app, what were you telling me? The lowest application rate since 2015. I follow one particular news thread, Mortgage News Daily. It was just like negative, negative. And then a new push notification. The article title was like, rates get worse again, ... for no reason. And like, I could sense the reporter's like frustration and exhaustion.
Here I go, writing this one more time. Let me guess, I'll write it again next week.
But I think the whole point, though, is like, you know, these like hyper experts and like the flow charts and the candlesticks and like the economical experts are like, it's this and that and it follows these trends and this is the data. And like all reality, I mean, I think you and I like to simplify it because like we actually talk to homebuyers. We don't, we're not PowerPointing with the laser pointer. And
this
like,
is why.
I watched on the Today Show this morning. They did a quick blip. And I like this, the way this lady explained it, where it's like, hey, you know, over a long amount of time, interest rates are tied to inflation. And inflation keeps coming up. And if you don't know what inflation is, it's the easiest way to explain it is the cost of goods relative to how much money we kind of make. Let's say like the average, what is it, pay per hour, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously things continue to go up and it's an issue, right? Now, the interest rates are directly tied to that, but they do follow suit.
Yep.
And I think most people are seeing the Feds, we're still struggling with inflation, still go. And what's kind of frustrating me too is like the Fed's like, we're far from our target 2%. When was the last time, like I should have looked this up, but when was the last time inflation was only at 2% annually?
Yeah. I think you'd have to go back when we were sitting there in those decent like 19, 20, 21 time frames, you know, somewhere in that run probably is pretty low because that's why they were keeping those rates so low. But they are, I mean, that's the thing that kind of gets us frustrating, guys, as being advisors, because we are trying to advise you as consumers and we're reading all these economics and these analyst reports and stuff. And really it is this, they got this target inflation that they're trying to get down to. And really they're only seeing, you know, year over year decreases, which is like, okay, August right now, 2023 compared to August, 2022, you know, we're looking at year over year decrease. But what they're trying to actually see, guys, is month over month, because then that shows you from like our pocketbook, hey, groceries are getting a little bit cheaper. Hey, those expenses are coming down. Now our money can stretch a little bit farther. Maybe they could look to lower rates, but they're just not even close to it, really. Cool. And that's why it's like, that light at the, we make a joke, guys, for me and Addy. It's the light at the end of the tunnel. It just it keeps staying at the end of the tunnel. We're not getting closer to it. But there's some things that come into play at ed time because we do have an election coming up. And this, it's going to have an effect on that economy. And you don't want, hopefully, to go into an election year in a bad economy with high inflation. So
can we table that one?
Yeah.
That point. I want to run on that, but you made a really good point with like finally the prices on like groceries and the spending are going down.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's what you're looking for, you know.
Well, and I was talking to our boy Scotty, who hasn't been on the podcast in a while. He just had a baby, so his hands are full. He's got the night shift. He's been on the night shift. Night shift with a baby, day shift with the loans. But that one thing we were talking about on the phone, I was like, because he had asked me, he's like, why do you think the apps are finally, applications are hitting like an e-break right now? Outside of just interest rates being high. Because there's always someone who just applies. But I think one thing people are finally seeing with the inflation and slowdown is people are running out of credit card limits.
Yeah.
And how much, because as Americans, we do have a cultural habit of just swiping and smiling, but not checking the balance. Like if it's approved, yay, yeah. Like you're going through. And that's the American dream, right? But then those credit cards start racking up, the minimum payments, you're out of, like, that's starting to hit people right in the windshield. It really, really is. I saw Yahoo Finance reported for the first time in over 4 years, there are more U.S. citizens who are not paying their bill in full at the end of the month than we've seen. So it was like a majority of people, I think it was like 60 or 70% would pay their bill in full. And that has dipped, I think, around 40% now. Nice, yeah. So you have 6 out of 10 people essentially just making a minimum payment.
Yeah, because they need that extra cash to keep it in the bank. I mean,
sorry to interrupt.
No, I mean, that's a great point of it, too, because I think you are seeing applications stall. You're seeing this kind of lag start to happen because I think people are just, they're running out of money.
They are.
And, you know, there's a point of it, too, where, you know, over the last 2 to 3 years, a lot of money was put into people's pocketbooks, not only, you know, with increased wages, opportunities to work. But then you had supplement checks,
yeah, you're
you
not
had
driving,
those government, you know, incentives, and you had these small business loans.
People were crushing on crypto.
People could and didn't have to pay back. I mean, there's just so much money out there that it was fun, and a lot of it got spent, and everybody had a good time, but I don't think a majority of Americans, because we are a very buy-now person,
right.
We didn't think it was going to turn so fast and then turn and be in this 1, 2, 3 year, you know, down market. So I just don't think they saved like we should have or saved a lot of that money. You're seeing this money run out.
Right.
Now we're seeing the brakes pulled back because it is easy to swipe and not check the balance, right? But now they're really understanding, like, holy crap, we're actually running out of money here. Like, there is no – the card is at the max balance. We're only at X amount for our savings, whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that –
To add to that, too, as a tip, like, pro, I'm going to call it a pro tip takeaway to get people's attention, because I've seen this a lot over the last few months. And generally speaking, you see it a lot doing loan applications. But you see the family that applies and you have that initial phone conversation. Yeah, we've saved up 50 grand, 70 grand, 100 grand, whatever it might be. Then when me and my team run their credit report, they've got $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in debt. And you're like, okay, no, you didn't really save up all that money. You just didn't pay your credit card bills.
Yeah.
So you're paying 20 to 30% interest on what you've extracted from your credit line of your credit cards.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. And I'm not just trying to be negative. I understand.
No, we're not trying to bash anybody.
Things happen. Life happens. We all go through things. And you have to utilize credit to, like, keep it afloat. But it at a certain point, you need to have an honest conversation about, am I saving or am I just paying interest on credit card debt that I didn't pay back?
Yes.
Because you would much rather pay those bills down and have less money in your savings, park that savings in 4 to 5% APY earnings of a high interest savings yield account than be paying 20, 30% on the credit card.
Yeah.
So that's something I've noticed a lot. And what I hate, like, sounding like I'm, like, coming down on people, because America is such an optimistic culture. Just what you two, I loved your point where it's like, it all happened so fast. And then now with the rates going up and the market turning, and now we're kind of stuck and it hasn't changed. Like, we're so impulsive and optimistic as Americans. Like, oh, we're going to turn it around.
Yeah. Like, and that's a great, impulsive is the word, because
I'll bet on America.
As we knew it was going into a bad market, a lot of us as Americans are like, ah, it's going to turn around. We're going to get through it.
Totally.
It's going to be a little grindy. Even me personally, I'm like, but then I think the more reality sets is like, we're still in that grind. Here we are over 2+ years now down the road.
Yeah.
And now we're at that point where we're like, hey,
the well's coming to dry.
We thought that would turn around
And I think it comes back to, like, sorry to jump.
No, interrupting you. We're ripping.
But one of the things with that whole, like, hey, we think it's turning around, is I didn't really focus that much in high school, but there was, like, I think it's called Newton's Law. This is when we meet Scotty.
Yeah.
He knows all that stuff right off the jump. But it for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Nailed it.
So if you're looking at what happened in those pandemic years, 2020, 2021, where it is just driver off the deck, home run, like aces flush, table tilt, whatever you want to call it, that was a 2-year run. Massive inflation. So we're on like a 2-year kind of correction period. But I mean, it's still frustrating in the sense of like, okay, when was the last time inflation really consistently, and I'm speaking to the feds, inflation has really stayed at 2%. Is that a reality?
Yeah.
You know, are we, right. And I know they're trying to land the plane and save everyone over the long run, but man, there's got to be a turnaround. Let's transition into, do I buy or do I not? Because I think that's super important. I get in that question a lot, and I think it's not the same answer for every person. The first thing I want to know when someone's asking me, hey, like, should I buy or should I not? Because you'll hear like super eager, commission hungry agents and bankers. Well, yeah, of course, the best time to buy was yesterday or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think with how much it costs in terms of the rate, closing costs, points to get your loan and whatnot, you have to commit to a minimum of a 3 to 4 year stay in the home. Like, you're going to hear people like, oh, we'll refinance you and your rate will go down. We say that too. We're one of the leading lenders in America who we work for. We service a majority of our loans and we have optimal restructuring opportunities. Optimal. We say that all the time, but that it shouldn't be the justification for purchasing the home, and the conversation's so much deeper. And the first piece of that is, how long can you stay at that home?
Yep.
Like, I'm sure you've had this too recently. Someone might like, oh, I'm on a 2-year contract, or my government job's going to move me in 18 months. There's no way in any sort of math or spreadsheet built out with integrity that you're going to be able to justify the actual fees and costs to get into the home and break even on them with the relative appreciation rate of real estate. It's not happening. And don't forget, you got to sell
it. It's not happening.
You got to sell your home at 5 to 6.5%. It's not free to sell. Yeah. There's capital gains. There's agent commissions. 25%? There's selling commissions. It's very, very expensive to sell. So I think that's the first thing. How long are you willing to stay in the home? Second one.
It's a good question too, because it costs more today too. Remember, like, we've had these, you know, podcasts already and explained it to you guys where, you know, these rates, it's not an abundance of loans going on right now. It's not an abundance of homes on inventory. So those rates you're seeing have cost to them. We've explained how these rates nowadays have, you know, an extra now 1, 2, 3 point cost, depending on the loan you're doing. Gosh, these investment and second homes are 4 or 5 point cost.
Well, and just to explain to them that why they're higher.
And the reason those costs are there is because, truthfully, there is not a lot of loans going on. There is not a lot of volume. There's not a lot of activity going on for a lender to truthfully stay in business these days. Is those costs need to be made up elsewhere, so those rates do have extra costs onto them. There's not a lot of loans being had out there. And then you have Fannie and Freddie and the governing entities, and more importantly, the government entities of loans out there. They have added these extra costs, which are also loan level pricing adjustments for certain purchases, like an investment or second home, to deter a client from purchasing those, because we're in a higher risk market. We're not going to get too high level with it with you guys, but essentially these rates do have higher costs. So that 2 to 3 year, 4 to 5 year window, you have to look at that, because if you were to sell beforehand, there's a good chance you might be losing money on this investment. And this is hundreds of thousands of dollars. We want to see you make a wise decision and have it be a good investment rather than buy now and sell quickly. And oh my gosh, you actually came out losing money.
It's so true. And I think it's something that's so skipped over.
You're hearing, like, I'm hearing a lot of people say, yeah, I'm out in two years. And you're going, well, hold on a second here.
You should rent. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You should rent and put that money into a very conservative interest yielding account. You should. You should. The second point I've been reviewing with people, and I have 3 points. So we've done number one, right? That's how long you're going to stay in the property. Number two, how much savings do you have that is not dedicated to purchasing the home? So in our industry, on like the Excel spreadsheet side, it's called reserves. So if you take the, you know, the amount of your payment every single month, we're going to ask, oh, I've got 6 reserves or 10 months reserves. Let's say the payment is $3,000 a month and you have $30,000 in savings not used to buy the home, you have 10 months reserves. So I like to look at reserves, not just the mortgage payment. What other minimum payments do you have? Do you have student loans? Do you have an auto payment? Bills, things like that.
Yeah, I like to look at like the whole monthly debt.
The whole
in my own personal reserve calculation.
Yeah, exactly. I'm exactly the same way. So let's say I know I'm running at a $5,000 a clip month.
Yep.
I feel comfortable having 12 months liquid reserves accessible. That's a year. So in
you don't make a dollar.
That's 60 grand. So if you have 60 grand, you have a full year, I think, and the money on top to go buy the home.
Meaning, guys, he's got a full year that he can pay his bills. If he doesn't make another dollar, it's $5,000 a month. He's got 60 in the savings. We can cover our bills for a year.
You got a year till you're moving in with mom.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, 6 months is often used more often and probably a little more realistic. Because even 6 months, you've got a lot of time to kind of figure things out. If you lose your job, hopefully you can get unemployment kind of, you know, duct tape the hole in the boat, if you will, and get a new job. But reserves is really big. I mean, I talked to someone that can operate from a 6 to 12 month reserves and still have money separate to purchase the home has a totally different kind of length in the leash, if you will.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, it helps you too. It helps you be more flexible. It helps you be less stressed. It helps you honestly just provide your like family that security that you need, or even yourself, you know, I mean, to know that you've saved up enough. You got some cushion there if things happen, because this is life, guys. Things are going to happen. It's might have an expense come up. You might get injured. You might get sick, whatever, right?
Things happen.
Things happen. So reserves are important. And whether you're buying a home or not, it's just important to have savings in life, you know?
Well, and to support that theory and not just make it sound like the big brother being like, oh, Addie said and Casey said, I guess
Save your money.
We actually use something called automated underwriting to see what an actual underwriter would approve or not on a loan. And they're usually calculating debt to income ratios, credit, as well as the reserves, which we've been chatting about. So in certain loan programs, such as a VA loan, an FHA loan, or a jumbo loan, which is a really high loan amount for, I like to call them luxury loans. Those guidelines to qualify are heavily dictated on that reserve number. Yep. And I explained that briefly. We're not trying to dive into it and give you an associate's degree on reserves or loan origination. The reason why I explain that is if major banks and mortgage institutions and the federal government who are backing some of these loan programs are using reserves as a risk assessment tool, you better bet your bottom dollar that that's a legitimate historical identification factor of how a family's going to survive under home ownership or moving into any sort of like positive or negative economical stance.
Yep. Yep. I mean, because it's really clear, guys. I mean, as an underwriter, as like that loan originator, and as a lending company, we're looking at your credit report. We're looking at your checkings accounts. We're looking at your bank statements.
Right.
We can basically see how you operate financially. And there are things that cause people to have a bad credit score or not save money or whatnot, right? But essentially, we can see how you operate and how you actually save money and how you pay your debts and handle your debts. And it is pretty clear most times. You either succeed and do well at that or you struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And that's where maybe lower credit scores, less money comes into play. And now we're not sidetracking any kind of family medical event or anything like that that causes you to maybe have that, you know, laid off jobs. We saw a ton of that in COVID 2020. But in a simple form, you really can see how a family will handle their finances and do they save money. And then that, you know, that is kind of weighted into, can that person qualify for a home? Can they handle that mortgage payment? And that falls into your DTI calculations and a lot of that kind of stuff for qualifying. But in a simple form, that's what we're looking at. Can you manage payments? Can you pay a house payment?
Yeah, ability to repay.
Yeah. Ability to repay.
Yeah, that's
look at you digging deep, dude. That's like
school.
Mortgage license 101 that's right like there. You better remember that one. If you're trying to get your mortgage license, you better remember that.
Yeah, someone told, I think it might have been ability Zach. Someone repay. Dropped that bomb on me. I was like, are you trying to show off that you've been in this industry for 20 years or that you're like almost a grandpa?
Yeah.
Either or. I'll give it. The third point. And I keep looking up into my...
Well, we have notes up here stuck to the ceiling, guys.
I'm trying to remember this conversation I had on Monday with a super nice gentleman work for Nike. But the third point I said was employment structure and history. So take like an honest look at your job and how you're compensated. Are you base salary? Are you heavy bonus? Are you 100% commission? Is the industry you work in stable or volatile? Because if you are in something that's in an industry that's super susceptible to being successful for you to make good money, it might not be the time to take on that huge payment, right? But let's say you're tried and true, like not, you know, like bottled water. You're like, I don't know, that's a bad example, but like
bottled water.
You've had like a base salary. It ain't going anywhere. The needle never freaking moves. And your partner also brings in supporting income. You're in a more stable environment than, say, like even me, where I'm heavily tied to real estate. This is one of the worst years I've had since I've gotten into it. And it's not out of lack of effort. It's just actual buyers right now. So it's probably not a great time for me to double or triple my overhead. So that's the biggest thing,
yep.
Right? And then to pad that too, this super nice guy chatted with, I was like, I like to look at life as chapters of a book. There's certain chapters where like things aren't as stressful. Kids might be, we've left the house
already, yeah.
Right? Or you're in the opposite where kids are ramping up. You got the terrible twos and the preteen thing going on. And you're just at your eyeballs for attention with the family, attention with work, or maybe you have health issues. Like, have an honest conversation about what chapter you're in life and play to that suit. And I was telling him, I was like, look, I'm looking over my lifetime to maybe make 5 to 8 home run real estate moves. And when I say home run real estate moves, where hopefully we're making a 6-figure profit margin, yeah. And we're stowing it away and investing it wisely, whether it's in more real estate or another venture. Understand life is longer than a couple years. You don't have to make your home run move. Sometimes winning the year is just not digging too far into the savings account and making all your bills on time.
Yeah,
and letting the forecast change.
That's a good life quote there. That really is. I mean, people get so rushed. I mean, especially us as Americans.
Our generation.
Man, in our
too.
Generation, yeah. We are just see it, want it, need it, buy
the new
it.
Model.
Dude.
I gotta do it.
Gotta have it, dude. And you look back and you're just like, man, all these impulsive purchases that you do over the years and like how much extra money you can save, or I mean, even, you know, ones that are letting it rip, you know, some of these 20-year-olds are just letting it rip, dude, renting, sure. Dude, we're just riding this card, slide it till it dies, baby. You know, it's hard as American to save, especially in these times, but that's why me and Addy are preaching to you guys, because, you know, we're trying to give it to you how we see it too. I mean, we feel it. We're in fluctuating, you know, commission-based incomes, right? It goes up and down based on economy levels. You know, we can be single-income families. There's bills to pay. We live it just like our consumers and clients do. And that's why we try to give you guys that advice from the heart, because,
right.
You know, it's when times are good, recognize that they're good and try to save a little bit more. Don't fall to the trap of your buddy and go get the new, you know, wakeboard and all the extra stuff because it's new swim season or whatever, you know, boating season. We get a hard time like this, right?
Yeah.
Now we're all starting to like, how do we pinch or cut this? Do we need the extra Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, you know, Prime, all these different subscriptions? No, you start to really look at expenses. And a lot of the times we're all doing that. on the second half of it when we know we probably should have been doing it a little bit earlier, because when it's good, it's good. And that's one of the time when you can make moves. It's harder to make them when it's harder, you know?
I totally love what you're saying, and to put a different spin on it, because like, it's super easy for us and anyone to just pull a Dave Ramsey and be like, don't spend it, waste your money and all that stuff. Yes. I get it. I mean, you can point at me just last night. I did not feel like cooking. I did not feel like driving anywhere. I got delivery.
Yep.
Big waste of money, but that's 100%. Okay. Here's because we all want to live our life with a smile and have memories and not be depressed.
We spend money too, guys. Get it. Yeah. We get delivery. We do the buyer's remorse stuff. Yes.
Well, I was just even having this conversation with my own financial advisor who runs our portfolio. He's like, how are you so disciplined on hitting these target goals, Addy? You just told me this is a lower income year based on the market. And I was like, well, I think one of the habits I brought in to my financial aspect was working with what's left over after the financial goals. And what I mean by that is most people make $5,000 and they're operating on a day-to-day basis on, I got $5,000 in my pocket. For me, I've set up digitally to where like, okay, this amount goes into this savings account. This goes to, contributes to my 401. I max it out every single year. I'm like 9 years straight on that.
Yeah.
This percent goes here. And all I use is what's left in my checking account. Much harder for people that run their own business and don't have taxes taken out and their insurance and 401. A lot harder. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm just trying to be fair to everyone. But I'm working, say it's $1,000. I'm working with only $1,000 in my checking. And that just like when you're at the register, you looking at it so much differently instead of that 5,000 figure.
Yeah.
You're like, can I? You might pull a couple things out of the grocery cart. You might be like, well, I'm going to refrain from doing this because I really want to buy that wakeboard. So I'm going to save a little bit for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to do it. And before I built up credit and was like even in this whole space now for almost a decade, I had horrible credit. I had no financial management. But what I started with was literally I would have the cash for that pay period in my wallet. And that was it. And that's another thing. If you really are struggling, put the only money you can spend after doing all your other goals into a box, your wallet, your pocket, and force yourself to physically take that money and drop down $40
for Domino's. Yeah, because then you see it, feel it. Yeah.
You know, $7.95 for that Frappuccino. Your brain will have conversations with itself and slowly rewire and reconsider your choice.
And I always suggest too, you keep a bag of like $2 and change too. So then you have to actually go through it, dude, and you feel that. And like 55 cents, and you gotta do it by the penny. So that's 55 of those things you're watching go.
Casey just walks around with an orange Home Depot bucket. It's all just like, you're like, I swear I got a silver dollar in here, hold on.
I don't want to do it. I'm done.
But we're so detached from like the physical element of currency now. That is one. And you know, maybe you just do it for a week.
I know, but you're right though. Think about it. It's a plastic card that so people easy. Really don't even see. And you're not even seeing that in live time because there's pending transactions that take 24, 48 hours to process.
Totally.
So now you might be plus or minus $200 or $300 in that.
You got
thing.
No idea.
But it's a slide. And in their mind, you know, maybe they slid too much times that day and they might have forgot a few slides. So the next day,
I've done that.
We've all done that.
Remember when we were kids and you would get, I remember like kid currency would be allowance. This is before I started caddying as a kid. This my only income driver was my allowance and then lunch tickets.
Ooh.
And just imagine how we were when kids. It's like, oh, I only have $5 or $7. And you go to the Plaid Pantry or the convenience store, the 7-Eleven, and you're the thought process of what you could do with that $5 was a lot different than the swipe of the card. You're like, oh, man. I mean, you've got kids. You probably know more than me. It's like, oh, I can only get two things. Should I get Slurpee and a king size or five fun sizes and a medium Slurpee?
Yeah,
like, bring it back to allowance and lunch ticket. It's like, oh, I'm going to save my milk tickets because I want to get chocolate milk on Friday. Like,
Yeah.
I think that's super good habits for people that are wondering how they can like beat inflation, get their money to work for themselves, save money, is bring it, dumb it down to childhood. Sorry, I don't know.
No, we're
like way out the checks.
No, I love that because it's just, you just have to reprogram your mind. I think a lot of us are learning that. We actually learned it during COVID.
I mean,
you know, like, totally. You got to stay inside. We're like, what? Like, ain't nobody telling me to stay inside. It's just a reprogram of the mind. But I think if you could do that right now and kind of get your mind there, it's really going to set you up for success because we're gonna get better. The times are going to get better, you know? And so, like, if you're starting now, you'll already be now step ahead from the next person that's, you know, waits till the times are better to try to start that new whatever, business adventure, mindset, whatever you're trying to do. But just getting that going, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we're kind of like running out of steam and time here, but I do want to kind of conclude with, if you're a veteran, now is a really good opportunity to take advantage of that VA loan. Because one thing I was explaining to some selling agents is the VA has a different way of qualifying a home buyer. The analyzation process takes a lot more steps into account that we are talking about, like reserves and residual overhead with family members and all this stuff. But there's a lot of flexibility in that loan program, and the fact that most veterans can go 0% down if they choose. This is a great time to navigate through a market that's most likely a buyer's market and not have a lot of competition. The minute we start getting back into reasonable interest rates, it's going to be competitive again. And often that VA loan, if you truly can go zero down, unfortunately, people don't like, they're like, oh, I don't want to. And we've done VA loan episodes on this before, and we're huge advocates for it. But I just think with the fact that a lot of vets are collecting disability benefits, service-related benefits, and if you're not, you, Casey and I tell people all the time, start the process.
Start it now.
It's money you've earned. Don't be embarrassed to go through the process. If you can get $200 or $2,000 a month, that's something you've earned, and just sitting there for you to fill out stupid.
You'll forget about paperwork. It, and it'll be there on the first of the month, every month.
And that helps you qualify for it. For the loan.
Yeah.
And it increases your buying power. So really encouraging veterans to get out there. If your credit score is down right now, try to get your credit score above 720. It is really, really challenging to have reasonable fees in a loan right now if your credit score is under 720. So
now's the time.
You have time
to raise it too. Like, if you think you have credit issues, call one of us. We're happy to take a look at your application credit and give you advice on how to raise it, because then you're setting you up while we have time.
And most of it's just something called credit utilization ratio.
Yes.
So if you have a $1,000 limit and you owe $500 on it, you have a 50% utilization ratio. So a lot of the way the credit scores work is it's tier-based. So the higher you go up in the ratio, the less points you get for that utilization, like, what's it, slice of the pie, if you will, and your score goes down. So we talked earlier about majority of Americans now not paying their credit card in full every month. Yep. Watch the next, I almost guarantee within the next episode or two, I'm going to be like, I saw an article where credit scores have gone down. Watch it happen.
Watch it happen.
I rarely fully predict things on this episode. The last prediction I made was like 18 months ago, where I said rates would be at 7.5% when we were still in the threes. I was right.
It was pretty dang close.
I was right.
It was 7.3% was the national average rate last week. That's what it spiked.
I think
it
just
the highest since December 2000.
And I think it just like peaked at 7.48 just yesterday. A conventional mortgage. But I think the credit score thing is going to be another issue that our country is going to have to overcome. So if you're proactive and watch the balances, right? Watch the balances. Obviously, make your payments on time, do all that stuff. But this is where you're going to be a couple steps ahead when the market's in a position to make a move if you've done the upfront work. So important, guys. And it's not just houses, right?
No, it's not just houses, but I mean, cars, all that stuff. And I mean, even like Addy said, we'll land the plane here. It's like, I think it was right there, end of June, beginning of July. I got a client in, $475,000 purchase price, VA loan, 0% down, $15,000 seller credit. And it was great deal. Nice. Clients, everyone were happy. Everyone closed on quick. Sweet deal. And the veteran set up for life, and the sellers were super happy, and everything worked out. It's a good time still.
That is like a – that's a really nice way to look at the positives of buyer market. You can negotiate those closing costs in. One thing, and I'm not trying to be negative, just honest, I think the houses are priced from the sellers knowing they're going to contribute 5, 10, 15K, meaning they just kind of up. It's like the retail trick.
Yeah.
Oh, 10% off, but they raised the retail price 10%. A lot of that's happening. So be mindful of that. Also, if you're a buyer out there who thinks that you can tromp around town and look at a $500,000 home and be like, oh, I do that for $425,000. We're not in that market.
Yeah, yet, guys. Gosh, I'm still seeing that now.
We're not in the $70,000 under ask situation. All right, I'll try to use percentages. We're not in the 20% under. The wiggle is 2 to 4.5%. And you either get that in closing costs from the seller or you get that in reduced sales price. Please put that in your head. Yep. 2 to 4% wiggle room. I'll let you guys do the math. If you're the person thinking in their head or telling your agents that you want to go 20% under, you're frustrating people.
Yeah, I mean, true talk, guys. I have a client right now that's been submitting, you know, 30 to 40 grand low offers. And, you know, we're a month and a half in and she doesn't have one accepted. And I get a lot of messages back from listing and sellers saying,
sorry,
the client would get an offer accepted if she would just have her price be a little higher.
And you got to be human about it. These guys the sellers have to go buy another home. They owe money on the loan. They don't walk away with $500,000 on a $500,000 home. They might have to pay $450 back. So you might be offering more than they owe on the home, and they're sitting on a really good interest rate and low payment and maybe only having to move because they're getting relocated for work, right? Yep. So just look at it from a human standpoint, and technology has evolved our market in the sense that not a lot of people are pricing ridiculously. From time to time, you see an emotional sales price on there, but the data's out there. There's AI, automated comparable sales reports, and everyone's on kind of orbiting around planet reality. But anyways, man, that was like, I think this has been a good episode.
That's a great one.
We covered a lot of different things. That's Cheryl, how we did.
She'll let us know.
She always does.
She'll let us know.
Freaking classic. Yeah,
she'll let
us know. Well, anything else to add here?
Stay in the grind. We're in it with you guys. If you've got any questions, you know who to call. And it's still a great time to still get pre-approved. Don't wait to find the house to get pre-approved. Get pre-approved first and then go shopping. Make sure you're set up with someone you trust. And if you're already set up with someone, it's okay to get a second opinion. You know, maybe someone else has got some other loan programs. Maybe they service the loans. Maybe there's some better advice to get. So, you know, feel free to always get a second opinion.
I love it. I love that. Yeah, reach out to us. And I just got a message, too. I read it before we started. Aspen was her name from Colorado, which sounds like a made-up name.
Yeah, that's an online lead. Aspen from Aspen Lakes. Totally.
I want to.
This guy. I'm going to go call a real name.
No, his name's
David Weaver, I think.
Bear with me because I want to give a shout out for this person.
We got a shout out for the show.
It is Aspen. I won't say the last name, but Aspen from Colorado. It says, hey, thanks so much for the MLO podcast. Been listening to all of it. I'm preparing to take my test to become an originator. Could you connect me with anyone in the network? So I want to call out that person.
Dude, Aspen, thanks for shouting out the show, buddy.
We always love those messages. Also, Shannon over in Idaho, I know we chatted on the phone, but thank you. I hope your visit went really well. So all the people who send us encouraging messages, we do enjoy it. We love that stuff. So
we'll do autographs one day for you guys. Right. No, we'll send out autographs and stuff. It'll be good.
Well, everyone, it's been a good show, and we appreciate your time and you tuning into the content. Once again, I'm Addy.
Casey.
And until next time.
Check you later.
Bing.